I think it was, or mid-93 someplace, a very good friend of mine, Kathy Masoner Woodruff, started talking to me and my wife Carol about going to this thing called Emmaus. And we really hadn't heard very much about it. We weren't real sure about what it was. But we finally got convinced to take that leap of faith. And so before long, Kathy and Gary and Luann Andis were heading me down to Merrim. And here I was, really didn't know what to think. I stood there looking around at the other pilgrims as you were standing in that mess hall, and I'm thinking, what have they gotten me into?
All of you who have been on that walk know that feeling. And for those of you who haven't been on the walk, you'll understand if you decide to go.
Well, anyway, you know, I felt I was a Christian. People said I was a Christian, but I don't really think at that time I had a very close walk with Christ. I was a pretty good father, at least I thought I was. I was a pretty good husband, at least I thought I was. But I didn't always get everything right. You know, there were some hang-ups I had. But compared to some of the men that I knew, I was doing pretty well. Because, I mean, after all, I'd filled in on Sunday mornings up here for the pastor. I'd led a Sunday school class. I'd been on church committees. I was in a gospel quartet. I was even in the choir. So how much more does it really take to be a Christian? Well, let me tell you, it takes a lot more than that. And that weekend proved to me that I did have some things I needed to straighten out. My priorities were not quite aligned right. You know, as a Christian, you're really required to put God first, and then family, and then whatever God tells you to do. And I came away from that weekend realizing that I hadn't really done that very well. I hadn't always put God first, and I certainly didn't always put my family first. I did so part of the time, but a lot of times work got in the way. So coming away from Emmaus really helped me set those priorities right. I got it figured out that God really needs to be first, then family, and then whatever God tells me to do. Sometimes that's work, sometimes that's community service, sometimes it's some other things. Well, what it really did was prepare me and Carol for the ups and downs that 1994 brought us. You see, early, even before our walks, Carol had been diagnosed with breast cancer for the first time. And I remember distinctly going to see the surgeon, and he was telling her, you know, these are the procedures we were going to do, and I knew she was worried, and a peace came about me, and I knew that they could take care of it, and they did for that diagnosis. But really, that was prior to Emmaus, and I think Emmaus then went ahead and set us up for what came afterwards. Because we were able to use that to show our boys, our three boys, that, you know, God was in control. He could take this bad cancer thing and make it good. And so we were able to go ahead and help show them who was really in charge. Well, later on that year, October 1, was our middle son Jeff's 10th birthday. And his fourth grade class trip was to Feast of the Hunter's Moon up in West Lafayette. Well, middle of October for a farmer is not the best time to be going places. It was middle of bean harvest. And I will tell you right off, had it not been for Emmaus, I probably wouldn't have gone. But I decided that I really needed to go with him on that trip, and I went. And God being who he is, it was foggy all morning long. By the time we could really cut beans, my brother was already cutting, but he had plenty of empty truck space, and so I was back in plenty of time. Shazam! Another one of those, duh! But it was a very important time for me to have been in with him that day because, unfortunately, just a short month later, getting the mail, he was hit by a car and killed. And some of you know that, some of you lived through it with me. Well, setting God as a priority in our lives prepared us to deal with that. I really believe that Emmaus prepared Carol and me to not only deal with that, but then a return of cancer. And she, with the loss of Jeff and the cancer kind of hanging over her, you know, these kind of hardships split up marriages all the time. But because of Emmaus and because of our priority of God, we were able to come together even closer. And not only that, but we were able to go ahead and minister to others in ways that really I don't think we could have prior to that. Because Carol was an emergency room nurse down here at the local hospital. And you can imagine what she has to deal with in an emergency room. I know one young lady sitting up here knows firsthand on that, and some of the rest of you may too. But she was able to administer to these people in ways that she could never have done before, these hardships and Emmaus. So for the next 17 years, we were really able to raise our other sons, John and Nathan, in a way that, you know, they got involved in Chrysalis. We got a lot of our, you know, we were in charge of our youth group. We got a lot of our youth going to Chrysalis, and not that many years ago, Hannah. Unfortunately, we also got to battle recurrences of her cancer. And in 2010, we actually had to take a break because of her declining health from our youth group. July of 2011, Carol did die. She could not overcome the cancer any further. And even though I was without her, I was not alone, because I had my family, I had my church family, my Emmaus family, most importantly, I had God with me. Well, to say the least, moving on, it wasn't very long, just several months later, that I got re-involved with our youth group again. And being involved with them, you know, we got going places and this and that, and there were some other youth groups going on too in the community, and one Sunday afternoon there was a combined church youth group party at the local bowling alley out here at Paradise Bowling Alley, and that's when I saw Elizabeth.
Well, let me set the stage for you from my perspective.
Oops.
My daughter Allison was going to this youth group through Fire Escape at the bowling alley, and I was just going to do what I call a dump and run. You know the drill. I would quickly drop her off in hopes of not being seen because I was dirty from cleaning house. I didn't have my makeup on. My hair was up in a messy bun. And not only that, I had a box of Papa John's pizza on my lap, and I was scarfing down pizza as I was driving, so I was a real mess. I pulled into the parking lot, and as I was dropping off my daughter, she decided that it was a good time to debate with me the importance of wearing a coat on a cold January day. So as we're debating this, I glance over to the side, and I see Ed Hsu. He was the former school board president, and he barely recognized me, but I teach at South Vermilion, and so he was the last person that I wanted to see look at me this way. he recognized me, and he walked over to the window to tell me about how he was helping out with the youth group. And one thing led to another, and he asked if I had ever been on an Emmaus walk. An Emmaus walk? That sounded familiar. Hadn't Dana and Glenn McLean been on an Emmaus walk? It sounded interesting, but I really didn't know much more about it other than it was some kind of a spiritual retreat. He took my phone number and said that he'd give me a call to tell me more information about it. Despite seeing me all bedraggled, Ed called the next day, and he began to explain this incredible experience of Emmaus. He kept saying that there were certain things that he couldn't reveal, though. This was beginning to sound more like Amway. been sucked into an Amway advertisement presentation once before, and I wasn't interested in that. But he continued to tell me that he would sponsor me, and all I had to do was agree to go without my cell phone for 72 hours. Is he crazy? I always thought that the Shoes were good, upstanding citizens, and this was beginning to sound now more like something from Waco or Jonestown. There was no way I could survive without my cell phone for 72 hours, but nevertheless, it wouldn't hurt to go out to dinner with him and talk about it.
Well, you know, I'd been trying to explain it over the phone, what Mayus was really about, but perhaps I really thought, you know, maybe a little face-to-face over dinner would work better.
But you see, I was done dating. I had been divorced for 5 years, and the dating scene was not pretty. Just 3 weeks before, I had told my mom I was going to be single for the rest of my life. There were no good men left. I just wasn't jaded. I was bitter. Not only had I lost faith in dating, I had lost faith in Christians. I grew up in a big church where the youth group had 150 teenagers. It was in the 80s, and church was my life. I was there every day, whenever the doors were open. And if the doors at church weren't open, I was over at church family members' houses. Now, have you ever noticed how the world expects Christians to be perfect? And have you ever noticed how Christians can hurt you worse than any other group? I was hurt as a young teenager in numerous ways. Church leaders were not very Christian-like. I thought maybe it was just that church. I had been betrayed and rejected, so I moved on to a different church. And you know what? They failed me too. This time I was older and married and I had a daughter. And when my marriage failed, I cried out to God and I looked for Christians for support. But I was literally told, "Sorry, but we don't have any magic answers for you." I didn't need magic answers. I just needed someone to show concern.
Even though I'd been talking to her about Emmaus, at this point, I really did not realize how hard or how much she had really been hurt by Christians.
Aren't Christians supposed to show God's love? Instead, they seem to kill their weak and eat their young. I felt like it was just God and me in this world. And as a single mom, I decided I could make it on my own. I could take care of myself. And I wasn't in need of anyone. I'd be an island, and I built a wall so no other Christian could hurt me again. And then along came Ed.
Yeah, and for someone that really thinks she can do it by herself, she needs a lot of help from me. Honestly, though, after that first dinner date, something really clicked with us, and I knew that I needed to get to know this woman better.
Ed seemed different. He had integrity. Something about him allowed me to trust him, so much so that I married him 5 months later. But I still wasn't ready for this Emmaus thing. I was just so tired of phony Christians. I wouldn't let anyone else get a chance to hurt me. I put off going to Emmaus for 2 years. And then one January morning, when Ed mentioned Emmaus, I thought, I'm going to give this a try. This is my last chance to trust other people. And if it's a horrible weekend, I'm done.
Man, don't you believe I didn't call Rita Steed right away. 24 hours later, she was signed up and ready to go the next walk.
I went to Merrim that Thursday night with very low expectations and very high skepticism. But I was shocked at the number of people who sacrificed their time and energy for me to make sure that I had a taste of God's love. These people were hauling my luggage, serving my meals, cleaning my messes without even getting paid. They didn't even know me, yet they just wanted to show me that agape love that Rita talks about. Now, I realize that in Hebrews 12:2, we are taught to fix our eyes on Christ and not people. But I'm reminded of what Mark Twain said, one of my favorite authors. If Christ were to see Christians today, he certainly won't want to be one. Showing God's love, not just on Emmaus walks, but always and everywhere, is what entices people into the body of Christ. People see Christians before they ever step foot in church. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it states that we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal to sinners through us. That's some heavy stuff. Do you realize the responsibility that you have to show others love, concern, and trust? I went home from Emmaus, amazed at the outpouring of love I had experienced from strangers. It not only renewed my walk with Christ, it renewed my faith in Christians' ability to be Christians. It's also given me many thoughts to ponder. Have you ever noticed that the things that bug you the most about other people is what bugs you about yourself? I was hurt that other people didn't show me more of God's love, but perhaps I need to show others more of God's love too. As a result of being on the Emmaus Walk, I've started helping out at Hillcrest with Vacation Bible School and with the food pantry. I'm trying to reach out more to others, but after years of building this wall of protection around me, it's taking some time to kind of remove it stone by stone. But with God's help, I too will become the Christian that I want others to be.
We just celebrated our 2-year marriage anniversary this past Monday. And she still thinks I'm pretty special, and I think she's pretty special. But it's been a hectic 2 years, to say the least, because we probably got married a little quicker than normal. We wanted to have a small, intimate wedding with family only, and all my family was coming in to celebrate my parents' 60th anniversary. And then suddenly it became a little larger intimacy with our church family. But, you know, we did that and didn't really have time to have a lot of time to ourselves. My parents had some health issues. We went through a remodeling process. Like I said, things have been hectic for 2 years. But I also realized that in that 2-year time span, from the time I first started talking to her about Emmaus, it took 2 years for her to decide to go. And although I really wanted her to go right away, I also knew from experience that it was God's timing and not mine. I knew that we had to wait for her to feel the call of God to go on that Emmaus walk. But now we get to move forward with both of our Emmaus experiences, trying to keep our priorities in line and sharing God's love with others. And it's really interesting, is maybe you picked up a little bit how Emmaus affected us in different ways. And each and every one of us that have been to Emmaus has been affected differently. And those that have not been but hopefully will go, you too will be affected differently. It's not the same for anybody. If you noticed, my Emmaus experience prepared me for after Emmaus and for what the hardships that I had looking ahead of me. But her Emmaus experience prepared her and took care of those hard things that happened to her before, and opened her heart and opened her eyes to what God has in store for her. None of us knows what the future brings. And if you have not gone on a walk, we certainly encourage you to check it out, to talk with others, and to go. If you have been, be sure to encourage, like we discussed earlier this evening, those that have not been, that are friends of yours, that was brought up, talk to other churches. We've all got friends in other churches. But certainly we encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to further your walk with Christ. I don't care how good a Christian you are, this opportunity gives you that chance to go from where you are even closer to Christ. Whether you're a new Christian, a moderately new Christian, and more mature Christian, I won't say old, because I'm getting there. But seriously, it doesn't matter where you're at in your walk. Wherever you are, Christ will take you and move you closer to Him. De Cloris.